Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
This is Dorian Kelvaris. Log entry. The investigation was hit with disastrous failure. While attempting to breach the surveillance system, I was struck by the Red Rebel's digital counterattack, damaging my synthetic eye and causing a painful system failure. My sister Celine used her authority to force the medics to transport me straight to my lab, overriding their normal protocols. Once at the lab, I directed my utility bot Icarus and my assistants to begin repairs. Observing that Celine's anxious hovering was disrupting the process, I tactfully dispatched her on a mission to fetch some tea and to await my ally, Reverie Keys. After Icarus completed the repair, we then formally brought Reverie into our operation, with Celine having her swear an extreme vow of silence. Next, we immediately set to designing the Red Scanner prototype for Celine's gauntlet. I also salvaged a clear profile of the other Red Rebel, the one who fled on foot, providing Celine with some crucial descriptions. The mission continues. Log end.
Strength is duty.
Duty is order.
Order is gold.
Order is gold.
Please report any suspicious activity to your nearest peacekeeping officer. A vigilant population is a safe population.
Celine is, like, on a high right now because of all the information that she has gotten, and she wants to reconvene with her brother and see what they can do next. I feel like this is like a snowball effect type thing. She's like, we're on a roll. Let's keep it going. I think it's been a few hours since Marin has talked to them.
Yes, we haven't really checked in with Marin, right? Because we haven't had much to give Marin, and we probably wouldn't have wanted to overstress Marin with being like, yeah, Dorian's eye exploded.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't.
Poor guy was already worked up.
Yeah, need to know basis with that guy. So Celine is making her way back to your lab then with you in Reverie.
Mm-hmm.
What, Michael? Look at your face.
I'm just like,
look at your face.
I'm just like, my favorite new NPC was heading towards you.
Who, who was
reporter
that?
Ace Bellerin, because you made a...
Oh, right.
I think you're going to have to get past the paparazzi first.
This is funny. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
I'm going to try to face danger to get out, because she has to go back that way, because she was running out like towards the back area, like loading docks. But to get back to her transport,
you can hear
the
bad retro 80s style rock music blasting from Ace Bellerin's press van. That's barreling towards you. You can see it, the bright neon colors. He swings out the side door, jumps, spins, and lands perfectly. His little camera drone floating right behind him like a little disco ball.
Yeah.
This is Ace Bellerin coming to you live in the Blue District, and we have just encountered the Monarch Celine Kelvaris herself. Celine, what brings you to the Blue District? We've heard reports that you are on a new hunt. Is that true? And he's like shoving the fancy microphone in your face as you're trying to walk
it's
by.
It's one of those things where in movies where she sees his head explode. And then you watch the movie, you're like, no way, that just happened. And then it's just all in her head.
Yep.
So God. She wants to, like, just punch him and use her kinetic abilities to fly him away. That would not be beholden of a gold to do that.
No matter how much she wants her... to do it.
I know. Oh, I'm going to try to face danger as I need to get around this guy. He's good. Okay? If this was another system, she'd be rolling with double disadvantage because Ace Bellerin, he's this little slimy little guy.
He's a slimy, suave guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to roll face danger as she's trying to dodge him. Okay. So let's do this. Dex, are you helping me? Slayer?
Dex is next to you. I think you're red. Would you be red?
Just pure. Yeah, yeah. Ace is like, pretty kitty.
Oh, we know it's a serious hunt because we see that her ever-constant companion Dex is here as well. Dex, do you have any comments? I know you can't respond, other than cat noises. Let's go back up to your boss.
Okay, I'm going to roll plus edge. None of my assets, obviously, they don't help with this. What? This doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's a weak hit. It's a weak hit. You succeed, but not without a cost, so I make a suffer move. It is definitely to my spirit.
Mm-hmm. I think he just starts pummeling you with questions, being like, your cat just hissed at me. How does the training go with teaching such a cat to work on the job? Is it a boss-student relationship? Is it a mother-child relationship? Do you have a special bowl for Dex? Is Dex in constant danger when you go on these missions? Are you putting your loved fur baby child in danger?
No comment. No comment. Please move out of the way. I'm busy.
Do you know that you have a 97% chance of saying no comment every time we ask you a question?
She gets in her vehicle and shuts the door. Like, as he's saying, do you know that you have a...
Yep.
Door shut. Car rises and heads out.
This is Ace Bellerin signing off with another stoic response from the Monarch.
Dex, you are no help at all.
Dorian, I'm on my way. I'm 5 minutes out.
We'll be waiting for you at the bottom of the building.
And she flies over. But we are going to head over to Dorian. Is Reverie with you?
Yes, Dorian would be there with Reverie because Reverie needs to apply the new red scanner to Celine's gauntlet. And I think Reverie would have easily picked up on the fact that Dorian's stressed out about something.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what, yeah. But is shaken.
Celine is about 2 minutes away, but Reverie says, "Dear, are you okay?"
Something is
wrong.
That's a difficult question to answer. I am upright. I am focused. I am locked in as best I can for this job after part of my face exploded. But family's a lot, isn't it, sometimes?
Yes, but... You know, that's what they're there for. Part of the contract you sign with them.
Willingly or not. I worry that Celine is an incredible person, incredible sister, but I'm worried that she puts these blinders on and it's very difficult to get her to have a more open mind when the blinders are there, and I have yet to crack that code, and I've known her all my life.
We all have our quirks, don't we? I guess we all have our own blinders, yeah?
That's not incorrect, as he chuckles.
And you see Celine's hover vehicle starting to make its way down and descend.
Thank you for waiting with me. I needed to... Your presence calms me.
I'm happy to be here and helping you out. This seems like a stressful situation for everybody, so any way I can help. Are you ready for this?
Yes, and you've helped me more than you know. As an unfortunate hidden reason why he has Reverie with him is to keep his emotions in check.
Wow. Wow. But she puts her, kind of puts her hand on your shoulder, gives it a tap, as Celine is kind of barreling out of the car. She holds the door open for Dex. He jumps out. She shuts it. And she's like, light jog over to you. Dorian.
You're okay.
Great news. Yes, I'm fine, of course.
Good.
Do you have good news?
Yes, yes. We can go up to the room. I just needed to take a few steps and make sure, you know, body and I were good and some fresh air. But we did get the software implemented into a prototype for the scanner, but we can apply it up in my lab.
And then she puts an arm around your shoulder. She says, yes, yes. Kelvar's siblings at it again.
Adapt and ascend.
It's just like, of course, just like old times at the garden.
I remember getting punched a lot in the garden.
Hey, bruises heal, though.
That they do.
So, as we're kind of getting on the lift, so we're rising up, up and up, and she is telling you, so I was able to put a tracker on their vehicle. I have all the information. I know exactly where they're at. Unless somehow they hacked into it, but there should be no way they know it's tracking them. We have good tech.
We do. And he points at his head.
But as we know, we're not dealing with a normal red.
Yeah. That's very true.
We're dealing with one that's even more dangerous than we thought. They're able to take even you down.
Yes. It's almost like playing chess against something that knows every move that I'm going to make, which I find is a challenge. And we'll be a little more careful next time we look into any surveillance on them. Fool me once.
Yes.
As the phrase
goes.
Of course.
Okay, so I'm going to send you all the data on the tracker. And so we are going to look into that. You have the scanner ready.
Yes, follow me. He leads you all into the lab and he brings you over to the lab table where he had been working. And it'll be Icarus and Reverie applying this scanner onto your gauntlet. And Reverie will be Praetor, would you prefer it on your left or right hand?
Either or. Ambidextrous, as you see.
Ah. Let us go with lucky left. And extend your left hand out, and this coiled bracelet goes around your gauntlet. It fits into the indentations almost perfectly, so that when you move your fingers or your wrist around, it follows it almost like an elastic band.
Oh, okay.
So what you're going to do, if you want to access using the scanner, put your index and middle fingers together and just curl them into your palm. That will trigger the scanner for you. And from there, you'll see a color on the bracelet at the center. It'll inform you. If it goes blue, that means it is a correct and proper barcode. If it is red, it is false. And not only that, but it'll also give you a small range of tracking whatever you've previously scanned.
This is amazing.
It won't go too far. It only goes perhaps a couple of miles. So if you're on foot chasing someone, it'll keep it. But if they end up in another district or something, you'll have to get close again to track them.
Okay. We're going to need more of these.
Well, she looks over at Dorian. This is a bit of a field test. We had to rush this. I wasn't able to create others yet. And being as they're added to your very original gauntlets, we will have to make rudimentary versions of it to be just simple sidearms, which can be done once this mission's over. Or at least once we've captured the leader and then focus on the secondary mission.
Understood. Okay. So, yes, we need to focus on finding the leader. I saw his face. Okay?
Yes, and I was able to augment what the surveillance cameras had on my end. And he puts the face on the camera.
And we see...
We see R055. You don't see the nickname thing, but you do see the scan identification comes up as R055. He is a tall red with smooth yet angular features, short black hair, a little spiky, faded sideburns, a short cut in the back. He looks of a Korean, Asian American descent of features.
Yeah.
And from what you can see, there is a barcode that is on his neck, but Dorian will walk up to you and will hit and have you, and like, will take your gauntlet and do the gesture.
and scan it, and you'll see his barcode flashes red.
Interesting.
And the other one is a T-000.
Okay. Dorian, this is dangerous, what this can do.
Yes, which is why someone like you is someone I trust to give it a trial run.
Okay. I know that it's going to take time, but we just have to find every single Red who has joined his regime or his rebellion.
Well, if we catch him, we could question him. Just like they questioned the other Red, we could get the information directly so that we don't have to mass-produce this scanner. Perhaps they're willing to talk if they're under the right circumstances.
This Red went into your head and short-circuited you. You think he's going to talk so freely and let go so many names of his brethren? I think not.
What I see is someone who's an intellectual. If they're outsmarted, they might be willing to talk. Just call it a hunch. I know...
An intellectual Red. I never thought I would see the day.
They are built from ancient supercomputers that...
Yes, but there are certain protocols and programs inside of them that would stop this type of behavior. So that's why this is an anomaly.
Correct. And every anomaly should be studied so that we can prevent history from repeating itself.
Mm.
And so we can understand the how and the why.
Well, once we bring him in, it won't be up to us whether he is studied or whether he is retired. The tribunal will do with what they see fit to do with him. Whatever they want, it's up to them.
You are not incorrect.
So, I put the tracker on their vehicle.
Yes, let's put it into the database here. And he brings up a small orb-like device that seems to be like a... creates a multi-tier map of Hyperion City. And I think I would be rolling a gather information roll here.
Okay, yep.
So let me go ahead and do that. Gather information. That's a weak hit, which is fine. We watch the homing device go from the blue district. It soars upwards into the violet district. And this is sort of like an elapsed timepiece where, like, we're watching time progress a little fast from when you threw the tracker to when you got back to me.
Right.
So about an hour or so it took you to get back to me?
No. It didn't take that long. I was saying from when Marin gave us the mission.
Oh, from when Marin gave us the mission.
So now it's been a few hours.
Okay. It looks as though the tracker almost disappears when it goes into some sort of facility within the Violet District. And then skyrockets out of the city.
Wait.
Well.
He left the city?
This was certainly premeditated.
So he's on a ship and he's out of here. Is that what we're seeing?
Yes, we're gonna have to expand to see just how far he went. And with his gloves, like his gloves in his eye, he like widens the shot, zooming further and further out. And I think we can do an oracle roll here to determine where he went. Because we have a couple of locations outside of Hyperion City that we could that we could give percentiles to.
Yes. So, yes, there are four possible locations that he could have gone to.
Yes.
There is one that would be more helpful to us, which is Vesper. If he ends up on Vesper, that will help us out a little bit more and make it easier.
Yes, because Vesper is just within orbit of the planet, research facility.
Yeah.
Easy. The others, not so much.
Calypso is one. Calypso is a deep space derelict. There is Manus. What is this? It's a deep space, like it's a precursor. It's like in the shape of a hand.
Yeah, it's similar to, it's like a giant floating god hand in a sense, like a robotic thing shaped like a hand.
And then we have Solus, which is a star. And then we have Vesper, like we said. So Calypso is one. Hyperion City is Manus is two. Solus is three. Vesper is four. So I'm going to ask you to roll a d4 to see which for one of these locations.
Oh, boy, it's on me.
He is Uh-oh. At.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling that d4.
Oh.
We got a one. He has traveling to Calypso. And we can see just how far the ship goes.
and it blinds past Vesper, and it soars near Calypso, the last sort of like large, massive dreadnought ship that has been abandoned for a long time.
Okay, so good and bad news, not in Vesper. Good news, that is a known route.
Yes.
So that's good. So we know how to get there.
Correct, because there are frequent goes to check in for it, as we established. They can't really destroy it because it's too big and too old, so it's sort of left as an anchor point.
Wait, so Dorian, this is good. We know where he's at.
Going all the way there is...
I know it's far, but it's part of the job.
It's not that. It's... That's a massive ship. There's...
Yes.
There's a chance that maybe he could harbor a legion of Reds on Calypso.
Then we will be stealthy.
Right. He turns to Reverie.
Yeah.
Rev, I think Celine and I should take on this alone, and perhaps you stay here as sort of our colleague on the ground, as it were. I don't want to risk bringing you out to Calypso and something happening.
Okay, are you sure?
Dex is a deep blue right now for, like, sadness and remorse for having to say this to her, but I don't want to risk losing you or putting you in danger. You've already given more than enough help. And should we require assistance, we'll need somebody here to get that information discreetly to Marin or wherever else we need.
Okay, understood. With this connection, you don't have her as a connection? Do you want to do that? It sounds like this is what's happening.
I would love to create a bond.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do a make a connection move. That is a strong hit.
Nice.
He gives Reverie a warm smile, being like, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything stupid. Or I'm going to try to.
Well, I know that you have your sister with you, so I'm not worried at all.
You're welcome to stay here as long as you need. I'll bring Icarus for the ship, but there's plenty of things here if you need.
Of course. And she looks a little bit awkward, but she is going to give you another hug, but in front of Celine this time.
He hugs her right back.
Just stay safe, okay?
I'll do my best.
Celine is off to the side, just looking like, huh. Just looking left, she's looking at Dex, looking at what color Dex is. Interesting.
Yeah, there's blue coming from him, but I think there's also probably a white, like, what is white? There's like a warmth and...
Truth and calm.
Yeah, I think there's flashes of white and blue coming from this connection.
Yeah, and gold is joy and safety.
Yeah, I think little sprinkles of gold fleck in there as well.
Reverie is going to say, it's getting pretty late. You know how to reach me. Stay safe.
Smiles and nods.
Yeah, and she goes, you too as well, Celine. Good luck. Celine says, thank you for your help.
And with that, she disappears behind the sliding door, takes the elevator down, as the Kelvar siblings sit there preparing for deep space trip.
So, you see that Celine looks tired. I think you finally see it. It's probably a little after midnight. It's been a long... Because Marin called us already. It was pretty late.
Yeah. Do you want some coffee?
You have
I have Icarus.
Do you have my favorite coffee?
Icarus always has it.
Then I will take it. Like, as a blink takes a little too long.
Yeah. Let's fuel ourselves before we head over to our departure.
We'll have to... Right now I have my squad vehicle, but we're going to have to fly home so that I can get Venture.
Right. Venture can easily make that trip.
Should we bring any staff with us? That's more of a selfish question. It's because they just can help run the ship.
I mean, we should check in with Marin to let him know what's going on, especially because we're going off planet.
You're right. I'll give him a call right now, actually. And then you see she pulls out like a communication device out of her pocket and goes to call Marin. It rings for a few seconds and we probably are waking him up.
Oh, yeah. He
comes on, and you can see he's got like his little sleep mask over his head. He's got like a a fancy like brown robe on.
Praetor Calvaris.
Yes.
Hi,
Marin.
I suppose you must have news if you're reaching out.
Yes, we actually have good news. We're making headway on finding this Red. We found someone very important. We think this may be the Red Leader.
So where are they? Are you on your way to get them?
Unfortunately, they're on Calypso, off-world.
Unsanctioned cars? That's a relic of our history.
I know, but and we're not sure if it's just this Red or if he's amassed a large crew. We're going to leave tonight.
I suppose that makes sense. Would you like me to rally your Praetorian Guard to assist you?
It's best if you keep it just us two.
Very well. At least bring a beacon with you to alert me in case something goes wrong, so then I can send forth the cavalry and all that.
Of course.
But,
We'll be taking my family's ship, the Venture, so my family will know where we're at as well. If anything should happen to us, we should be fine.
I would rather not deliver bad news to Lucinda Calvaris, but I doubt anything bad will happen.
Yes, I agree with you. I wouldn't wish that fate on anyone. No, we should be fine.
Very well. I suppose I can put on some late night entertainment to keep awake for some time in case you need to.
No, just go to sleep. We will also be resting. It's going to be a long trip.
Very well. Good luck to you and your brother. And don't die. I would be sad at the loss of either of you.
Calvaris always ascends. We'll be fine.
Ever the optimist. Good night and good luck.
Good night.
His takes a moment to turn off as you see his body fall on the pillow and puts his nightcap on.
I'm going to grab the coffee from Dorian. Is there anything we can look up on this, what is it, RO55?
Yes. RO55 and T-000.
Let's look into when were they created, how long have they been online. That information for every Red is in a directory.
Correct. Dorian goes over to the scanner where he has put up the two profiles, a profile of T-000 running and RO55 jumping onto the bike looking at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the left, T-000 has been online for 26 years, has no history of corruption, malfeasance, or any sort of act of disobedience, works mainly in the Blue District under Stimothy construction contracts, which makes sense as to why he was able to blend in with the shipyard, the workyard.
It does.
And slightly augmented body for physical labor. RO55 takes a moment. Appears to have been more of a secretarial positioning Red, working in administrations in the Bronze District. And it appears that RO55 has only been operational for the last 7 years. Again, no records of any anomalies, misbehavior, or corruption. Looks as though they were rather efficient. They bounced around a few different councilmen and justiciars.
Ah, well, let's look into their communication. Who have they been talking to?
Dorian's starting to sweat a little bit.
What color is Dex?
Dex has so far been white and blue still.
Okay.
And now trickles of green are starting to show up. T-000 seems to only have any communication with some of the contractors in the Blue District. There was a delegate from the Bronze District and general maintenance enforcement from some greys. RO55, and you can see that R055 has a massive array of people from all different colors of the Seven that he has had regular communications with. Being secretarial Red, he has a literal ocean of people he speaks to. There are...
This is worse than I thought. Because if he's trying to unite all of the lower colors, we're done for. The tribunal must be losing their mind.
Well, once they find out that someone they let get so close is pulling such a bold risk, he's scratching his neck. There's a little bit more green, but the blue is so deep.
Yep. She's eyeing Dex. She hasn't said anything just yet. Mm-hmm.
As you can see, he's even come into passing with a few people from the Gold District. And he scrolls through, he could see a couple different gold names, one of which includes... What's his name? Oh my goodness. I'm blanking on this guy's name. Councilman Xanthi Halibrin comes up. He's even spoken to that old prick. Probably over taking notes on something being delegated and decided upon on a whim, but... No pattern. He's been an assistant to an associate secretary, notary, messenger, courier.
Yes. Well, this is... I mean, the first thought that comes to mind is that he's trying to unite multiple low colors, but it looks like if he was in a secretarial position, we can't check thousands of communication.
We don't have time for that.
No, we don't.
And... we'd be wasting time talking to anyone from the Blues about T-000. He's inconsequential compared to R-055.
I agree with you. Well, let's look deeper into R-055. What are most of these conversations consisting of? Look up these keywords. And she starts to give you keywords, kind of like we're trying to filter, right? So we're not just looking for, just regular correspondence about...
Bureaucratic jargon and small talk.
Yeah. So trying to sift that out, take out... There's hundreds of messages, so we're just trying to filter all of that out. And so she is... Find messages that are relatively normal. Speaking of his day, what he likes to do and drink, eat, favorite color.
Oh, so you mean things you would ask on a more domestic... And he's trying to pry a little joke out of you. More domestic, more human. Sort of conversations, perhaps with people outside of work.
Well, they believe they are human, so I imagine they would have human-like conversations.
Very well. He's going to... What I want to do here is a gather information, but...
I kind of want to face danger.
I want to gather information with Shadow to see if he can try to control a little bit of the scan without being spotted. There's no PvP moves here, so I'm making it just based on my success and failure here. Yeah, gather information.
What color are you, though? What color are you, but what color is Dex? We're getting deeper into it.
With all the information that he's been giving, which has just been, factual information, there's white. There's still a flex of blue, of sadness, which... You think, which is, which has been there since Reverie left, so that might just be lingering. But there are tiny traces of green. There's no way to hide that.
Okay.
Unless you think face danger with Shadow is probably better.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, something risky with Shadow. This is what we're going to do.
Because this is risky.
It's a weak hit. I succeed, but not without a cost. I think there's a bit of, I think I'm willing to lose another notch in spirit. Because his resolve, I think Dorian is extremely torn right now.
Okay.
He wants to say something, but he doesn't know how to say it. And he doesn't know if this is the right moment. And he also knows that Dex is right there. He's been around Dex his whole life. He knows what Dex is capable of.
Yep.
So what I think happens here is he reveals some starts to scan down the people that have been having just basic conversations with him. It looks here, there's a few pedestrian conversations with a handful of the bronzes. Mostly it looks at the hours of break and respite. There's a few conversations with some blues, And as he's scanning between going from gold to bronze and bronze up to gold and back down to grays, I'm not sure how well Celine would notice this, but he does there is a couple of little flashes, but then they immediately delete themselves as if a screen's refreshing.
Again, it's a weak hit. I kind of want to roll to see if she would catch it.
I think that's fair.
That's a miss. I can burn momentum to make it a weak hit, though.
Do you want to?
Yes. So I burn my momentum. It is a weak hit, so the information provides new insight, but also complicates your quest. I catch it. Go back. What was that? There was a couple flashes there.
That might have been a small attempt to obfuscate. I have to go back to the beginning.
That's fine. And she just looks super focused. She keeps drinking the coffee. Eyes dart to Dex every now and then.
You see he goes into the gold area. It looks as though there was a few conversations of inconsequential means with Xanthi. A couple of other delegates just talking about their days.
Any conversations regarding... he seems smart. I don't believe he would just...
You mean an intel...
Talk about uprising and things like that on his communications device. Any communications on, meeting up with people anywhere throughout the city?
Continues to scan. And you do notice that there is a line where a name should be for conversations. Mm-hmm. And you could see... You would notice this because you're now really looking at it, that the conversation logs, there are... dozens and dozens and dozens. But the name has been redacted.
Stop at this one? Dive deeper into the conversations for this one.
Yes. It looks as though whoever this is has gold-level privacy, so I can't even get into it.
You can hack into it. I believe in you. Let's look inside. Looks like there is a name being hidden, but I'm sure you can figure it out.
Of course he can!
It looks as he's like, very well, I'll try to get into this name, and in the meantime I'll look at the locations. It looks as though there were multiple meetings at the Pulse Lounge. It's a local place of respite for the Reds within the Red District, between a few manufacturing buildings.
I know of it. They think that I don't know about it, but I do.
There's a brief rolling of his eyes. I think it's just a guttural reaction.
She doesn't see it because she's looking at the screen with you. The Pulse Lounge. Interesting. I wonder if I should go there tonight before we leave.
Well, we know where he's going. We just ask him ourselves.
Yes. There could be extra information from Reds there. Or I can send some of my men to go rough up the place, get some information.
Wouldn't that be making a scene, and we're supposed to keep this discreet? A bunch of praetors going and beating up some Reds in a dive bar doesn't seem like a subtle move.
We've been taught to be discreet when we need to be.
Wouldn't you rather have them come with us?
No. I have some specific words that I would like to have with this Red once we catch him. And we will catch him.
Well, I say... we get to venture, I can continue analyzing this with my own tech. And I can share it with you once I realize which gold is hiding themselves.
You could do it now. I'll wait.
I kind of want to do something underhanded here. I want to do something underhanded here. But I don't know what the move is. I think...
What color is Dex?
Dex was white, but there are still little flecks of green dancing around in some blue.
I don't know if it's flecks anymore, my friend.
It is getting more green. I think when, as part of that conversation where you talked about you beating up the Reds, you would have noticed a small flash of red.
Okay.
Hmm.
So what would you like to do?
I want to have sent notification to Venture that we're going off planet, which then would have triggered an alert to our parents that we're leaving the planet, which Dory wants to gamble on either our mother Lucinda or our father Magnus interrupting this conversation to call.
I guess that could be an oracle roll of the likelihood, because this is part of her job.
Yeah.
So it's not really a thing that they would.
That's true. I would say, I'd say maybe a 25% chance that they call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty low chance.
Yeah. So I'll roll a D100, 25 and under, she calls. 26 and up, yeah, doesn't call.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. All right. D100. 74, she does not call. Okay. He was hoping to get mom involved. Oh, mom, you're calling at this very strange, hey, yet coincidental time. Well, that plan went up in smoke.
Yep.
Dorian takes a long, deep sigh. Icarus?
I'm wondering why he's covering this name, Dorian. This is obviously something to look into.
Well,
what does he have? What is he hiding? Is my question.
Doesn't respond, and he waits for the name to continue to you basically see this redacted bar slowly begin to shift into numbers, into letters, and starts becoming almost like a hangman's game that begins to slowly put little letters in. Celine?
Yes.
If I asked you to trust me no matter what, would you?
Of course, without question. And I would expect the same from you, for me.
Then I'm going to trust you to understand what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Icarus? He nods to Icarus, and I don't know if Celine noticed it, but what Icarus does here is he does the same thing he did in the first episode, where he stops the recording and puts a loop on the camera, mutes the room, basically creates a dead zone on this lab for, surveillance.
Yeah. Celine looks around. What is it?
It's better you just see. And he waves his hand across the bar, and you can see bits of surveillance cameras from the Pulse Lounge, where you can see R055 sitting at a small table in the back, drinking the facsimile of tea, like a fuel for Reds that they could drink for sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
Robed figure walks into the room, back to the camera. R055 gets up and smiles, gives a short hug and a handshake, and sits down with this individual.
Mm-hmm.
Individual takes their hood off, and you see Dorian Calvaris with a smile on his face, talking to him. You can't hear what they're saying, but you can see faces, emotions of camaraderie. There's laughter. There's some intellectual talking and waving of hands. And R055 seems to become distressed and leaves. Dorian looks after him. And so now there's no doubt it's him, because at first it was just the profile with the regular eye. So it was maybe this is just a lookalike. But then turns and you see he puts the cloak back on and darts out of the room. And at the very same time, you see Dorian Calvaris comes up, having the maximum amount of communication dating back 4 years.
Dex is red all over, a deep crimson. You see Celine, her eyes are wide, and she doesn't speak, but you start to see her hands clench, her fists clench. The gauntlets are starting to shake and vibrate. And not only that, but the coffee splits open and bursts. And it's not in her hand. She had set it down. And you can see that all the tech in the room is starting to shake as her hands and arms are starting to shake too.
Celine, you need to let me explain.
Thanks for listening to Iron Rising, a Starforge actual play. I'm Maya Wilson, and I've been Celine Calvaris.
I'm Michael Gilbert, and I've been Dorian Calvaris. And together, we bring the world of Hyperion City and the Law of Seven to life.
If you're enjoying the series, leave a review or comment wherever you listen. It helps more than you know.
We also have a companion blog for those who'd like to dive a little deeper into the Forge. All links are in the episode description.
And we'll catch you in the next one. that's where we're going to end the episode.
Hot damn. Oh, damn.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Excuse me, Tompkin Press. How do you do PvP?
How do you do?
Ruh-roh.
I think my sister's about to punch me.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shapeshifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.